There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Michelle Weamy, and today we get a chance to talk to Felicia Roberts. You guys, she is a divorce recovery coach, which means that she is going to help all of us with whatever we need around this subject of getting stuck around relationships and how to recover and how to move forward and get unstuck from that. I am so glad that you're here. Tell us a little bit more about what all that means. Like, I totally can't do it justice like you can.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for letting me come on your platform today to share. When I saw the topic, I thought, oh yeah, I need to come
and share.
So a divorce recovery coach, I am the coach that helps women save their emotional time that they deal with around divorce, also helping them recover and rebuild their lives mm-hmm. after divorce, because this is such a fragile time yeah. and you can feel stuck. So trying to help them get off the emotional hamster wheel, yeah. save that emotional time that they need and avoid the pitfalls of the past.
Yes. Oh my God.
Because we don't want to go around the same tree because we didn't do the work to heal right as we recover and rebuild our lives. So that's really my passion in serving women. I myself, just for backstory, yeah. went through a divorce myself in 2013, and I could not find anyone that can help. I was in support groups and mm-hmm. those kinds of things, but like, who could individually help me walk through yeah. this process and understand that the days that I thought I was going crazy, it was all normal.
Yeah.
And really just to be gentle and walk me through and help me know you're at the right place at the right time. Your grieving is normal, you know? And so I just was like, after I went through my own journey and transformation, I'm like, you know what? I need to help these women. I need to come back and help them get what I did.
Yes.
So that's really my passion and my why.
I just love that because you recognize that there's so much pain. You know, it's different than going into a new transition in life because all of a sudden now you're alone and you're going it alone. And oftentimes I'm sure I haven't been divorced. And so I don't want to sound like an idiot. So I'll let you kind of like talk through some of the details of it.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine that you're having to start over from scratch. And there's probably a lot of feelings of just loss and fear and, you know, just all of the trepidation that goes with starting over. And so
yes.
tell us a little bit about your own journey. Did you feel stuck in this space? I mean, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but walk us through that a little bit more.
I did. And there are so many areas of your life that are impacted.
Yeah.
When you talk about finances, right? You're going mm-hmm. from now a two-person income to a one-person income. You now have to try to figure that out. How about your social circles that now change? You were out with couples before and enjoying date night, maybe double date nights with couples. And now the couples may not want the single person around right
yeah.
now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that area. There is, if you're faith-based, right? If you're going to the same church or in the mm-hmm. same faith-based circles, you now have to figure out how you're going to navigate that area, as well as just your general life as a whole. So for me, it was the feeling stuck of like, where do I even start? Like this bombshell just went off.
Yeah.
And what is my next priority
right.
like tomorrow? Like I don't have 3 months from now to look at. I just need to figure out how to get to work tomorrow because now people are going to be asking me questions. I feel shame. Like I feel like I failed.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not mention my children were older, which thank God they were older adults, but they still are impacted.
Right.
Right. And so you have to now try to help your children process through the whole divorce. And so there's so many things that are on your shoulders.
Yeah.
That just being I felt like I don't even know where to begin. Like, help me sort this out. Is it my finances? Or, and so for me, my next place was determining where I was going to live.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, now you've gone through a divorce, who's going to stay in the home?
Right.
Right. Are you both going to stay or are you both going? And for us, we both left the home that we were in But that meant I was homeless for a period of time. I was literally living out of boxes out of a cousin's home until I was able to get on my feet and purchase my first home. So that was the beauty of that. Yeah. But so really just where do I start? Like, yeah. And I don't want to face this whole thing because I don't want people to even know what happened.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You think of if we just forget about it and ignore it, it's just going to go away. Right. Like it just didn't really happen.
Yeah. Or people won't notice, you know, people won't notice you. Oh, you know, yeah. People are big. If you're not wearing your ring, like you said, you were married. Where's your ring at? Mm-hmm. Just the simple things that people pay attention to.
Yeah.
But yet you still have to function in everyday life. You've got to work. To pay bills and support yourself. And so just figuring out how do you move through and maneuver through all of those spaces and giving yourself grace while you do it. Because, you know, there really is no playbook. But that's why I'm here as a divorce recovery coach to help give you that blueprint.
Yes. And do people typically talk to you, you know, while they're trying to decide if they should get a divorce or is after already happened? Like what happens with your clients typically?
Good question. That is a good question. I'm on the other side after you've made the decision.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. When I really had to search, I could go the gamut, right? I could go from the beginning of when you really had the injury or you determined that it's over. I could start there. But for me, in my heart and my gut, it is, I'm not for divorce. Like I didn't want to be divorced. Let's just be real. I didn't want that. And so it would be hard pressed for me as I've searched out and really determined where I fit in the woman's divorce journey. It would be hard for me to help a woman get a divorce.
Yeah.
It just, now there are those that can, they've got that. And that's why the beauty of us in the journey, we figure out where we fit in that. So I'm on the other side. You've made the decision. It's happened. And you are now divorced.
Okay.
Or maybe you've even been separated, right? Because there's couples that are separated for years and they finally get a divorce.
Yeah.
Well, you've been gone from the marriage for years.
Right.
But now you're finally making that decision. But I don't ever want to be, I'm not the coach that helps you determine that you need to get a divorce.
That's, you know, probably really smart on your end. I mean, you don't want to have to be the one who influences someone to leave a marriage that's been blessed by God, but sometimes that has to happen. Like God does not also want us to stay in abuse or sit in abuse. And so there's so many things that he is asking us to be obedient in. And sometimes as human beings walking alongside the journey, we really do want to let him speak to the person and we can just be the guide, right? We can lock arms and say, I've been there, like two steps ahead of you. I got you. Let's do this. Right.
Yes.
So what are some of the biggest fears that people come to you with that really they need some help navigating around?
The shame and guilt is huge. And the feeling of failure.
Yeah.
That would be, I mean, just the initial, again, guilt of, even if it wasn't necessary, I try to walk women through, you have to be realistic in the fact that there were two people in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to account for what your part was in the demise. It doesn't mean that you're a failure.
Right. Because
oftentimes women think they are a failure. The marriage failed, but you're not a failure. But you do have to take account because you don't want to, again, wind up in that same space again.
Right.
Because
you
didn't account for what your part in the demise. And if you talk to your former spouse, they have their own story about why the marriage is over.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's not about pointing fingers, but really getting accountable and figuring out where your part was.
Yeah.
And so that is one thing. The other thing is, who am I?
Yeah.
I was a wife for however many years. Right. And now I don't even know who am I. I'm not a wife anymore. I don't know who I am. Yeah. So really helping women sort through, well, let's talk about it. You had a purpose before you got married.
Yeah.
So let's get you back discovering who you are, because the essence of who you are didn't change.
Right.
This was just one chapter in in the story of your life.
And I'm just curious, because those of us that are listening that, you know, aren't, you know, divorced or in the middle of that process, but we could so glean that wisdom from you and the things that you help navigate people through. So as somebody who is married, how do you help us identify, you know, who we are and what our identity is now, even while we're married? Like, what would you tell somebody that is listening that is married and doesn't plan on not being married?
that's good. It's really getting back to your core values.
Okay.
Because, you know, once you're married, you and your spouse, really, you become one, right? And so you like everything your spouse likes. You go every place they go. Your meals are the same, you know? And so it's really getting back to what are the things that make my heart sing? Mm-hmm. What are the things that I would do if I could do them for free that it just, right? I can get into it. And so it's really bringing you back to your basic core values. Mm-hmm. And who has God said that you are?
Right.
So I really walk women through that exercise. Let's get you discovering, what is it that you like? What do you like about yourself? What do you not like about yourself?
Yeah.
And I can remember one place that the Lord really, it was a tough exercise, but I had to come and write down every positive thing that I felt about myself and every negative thing I felt about myself and write it out. And then I had to start circling the things that really mattered to me on the positive side.
Yeah.
And the things on the negative side were, first of all, were they really negative? Or had I developed that, right, that esteem over the time of the relationship?
Right.
And so was it true, right? The negative thing. And if they're true, then how do we get working on, now we gotta work on everything, but what matters the most that you wanna work on, right? Is it being authentic? Is it your communication style? Yeah. So then figuring out what areas you really want to focus on as you move forward. I really want women to, when I work with them, I want them to know this is your priority list. It's not mine.
Yeah.
Your journey's not like mine. But I want to give you the tools that you need to walk your journey out.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So not that a cookie cutter.
That's so beautiful. Me either. I'm very individualized because I know that everybody's different. Everybody's priorities are different. Everybody's next steps are different, but there are tools that we can learn from one another to say, okay, this is a perfect tool right now to allow you to discover this for yourself. And I just love that because I think that so many people are struggling with that just in general, like, especially since the pandemic, I think that a lot of people are struggling with who they are and what they've kind of gotten lost themselves. And this has caused them to have a wake up call and figure out like what is it that I would love to do and who am I? And I think that depending on your circumstance, you can apply this in so many different ways. It might be a way for you to strengthen your relationship because if you both can honor the individuality that you both bring to the table, that allows for you to maintain that and strengthen that. But if you are, you know, in the road to recovery after divorce, what a beautiful way to have a fresh start.
A fresh start. That's exactly it. And you might discover some things that you didn't know.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty is now you're discovering those new things about yourself that now you have to redefine what that looks like for you.
Absolutely. And then you mentioned the shame word, and I would really love for you to describe a little bit more about that and what tips you would have for someone who's struggling with shame. Because I think, again, that particular emotion can apply to so many different situations.
Sure. Well, shame in itself is really meant to make you draw back, right?
Yeah.
And to cover yourself up and hide. And this is, you know, one of the things that I'm so, when I think of my work with women and think about shame in itself, it really is, once you even make the initial call to me, that's courage. Mm-hmm. Like, you've made just the initial step to say, I want to get out of this place. Mm-hmm. So we start just with the basics, right? And then once again, determining what about the divorce has caused you to be shameful? Is it that you know, your friends are now going to, let's look at why the shame is there.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we can start to break down again, is this true? And if it is, you know, if it is an area that you really want to focus on as far as the shame, then let's take the steps to start dealing with the truth. Because shame is not true.
Right. It's a story we tell ourselves around it.
Exactly. So what stories have you told yourself? And let's build some new stories, some new narratives that you can now. And for me, it was putting up sticky notes. So I am a sticky note queen. So on my mirror, in my car, at work, I would just put up positive affirmations.
Yeah.
And I would have to say to myself, and this is so, every day when I drove to work, I can remember saying, I am dropping bitterness, anger, revenge, and rejection. And I am picking up forgiveness, acceptance, and God's grace. And it was like I saw a weight bar. And so I was dropping the shame and picking up. So how do you do that every day in the light that you start to speak more positive and believe positive and put down the negative.
Right. Oh my goodness. That's so good. That's so good. And one of the things that you mentioned was the, you know, financial implications of having to start over. I mean, I can't imagine how daunting that is. And that's just it. Why somebody needs a coach is because oftentimes, like, we can't see the forest for the trees. Like, we're in the weeds when we're in our own situation. That's why coaches have coaches, right? Because we can't see our own blind spots. That's why they're blind spots. And so I think that, you know, just having someone that can literally see the whole situation and say, okay, the next step is.
The next step is.
And so, you know, the financial piece, I would assume, is just like daunting when you think about all of the implications. So what kind of things do you take your clients through to help them at least not be quite so overwhelmed with the whole situation?
Absolutely. We start to look at, where's your money going now? What, first of all, what's priority? Mm-hmm. If it is you need to, you know, find a new home, find a new living situation, you're not going to be at peace until you determine that.
Right.
Right. And can you afford the place that you need to go? So you need to have the conversations about your financial situation with the former spouse, what that's going to look like, mm-hmm. so that you can start putting some parameters around how you move forward. So I don't know if you're getting, you know, alimony or support. You need to figure out, okay, where does that fit in my budget? Do I need to get a second job for a period of time? Mm-hmm. So we start to look at, let's lay it out. And especially depending on what stage of life, right? Mm-hmm. If you're mid life, like we have a lot of now gray divorces. I don't know if you've heard of those, but people are getting divorced midlife. They've been together with somebody for 40, 50 years and we're seeing them. So now they have to define, again, who keeps the home, 401ks. So again, I want this to be the my client's journey. Mm-hmm. Let's lay out your finances. And I even bring in budget coaches, because they will have even more of a fine tune a spin on that for women. But let's figure out, do we need to figure out 401ks? What do we need to, I subscribed to Dave Ramsey, which I loved, because he really just helped me get right to it. Like,
there's no extra fuss about Dave Ramsey, for sure. Like, I used to be a financial peace coordinator. So like, I'm like, woo-woo.
And he lays it out for you. There is no, I mean, to the penny. Yeah. And I love that he talks about, you know, telling your money where to go, right? And you should have nothing left in your bottom line because you told it where to go.
Right.
So that is where I really help clients in defining like what their new financial situation is going to look like, so that they can at least start to get some peace around that. But again, what's the first priority? Because if it's her living situation, she's going to have to, that's going to be on her mind first than it even it would be the finances, you know? Right.
And there's something that just really struck me that I feel like I want to talk about here real quick. And it's that people that have come to you have already made the decision to leave. And I think that that decision is probably the most important piece to all of this, because I think that until we make that decision in any part of our life, guys, until we make the decision to go after it and to do it, it's really hard because you're still weighing the pros and cons, the risks and benefits, right? And so you might think, well, I don't want to sleep on so-and-so's couch. And so, nope, I'm not going to leave yet. And it's like, once you make the decision, you're like, okay, what do I need to do? It's just a different like switch of a mindset, but it happens once you make the decision and then the rest of it falls into place. Don't you think?
You are so spot on. When you've made the decision, you're no longer vacillating about whether you're going to go try to cook a meal and fix it, right?
Yeah.
It is, I've made the decision. Now, what are the next steps? What do I need to do to move forward?
Yeah.
Right? So your progress, your thinking is about everything that, and you'll do whatever it takes.
Yes.
You're not
once
worried.
You make the decision.
I was homeless. I tell a funny story in my book, but I remember because I was living out of my, I went to work one day with two different color socks on because I'm digging through socks in a box. And got to work and I was like, oh my God, these are two, but it was so humbling because I remember thinking to myself at my desk, like, okay, this is not the worst thing that can happen. Nobody's going to see these socks but me.
Nobody. Yeah. And now you can laugh about it, right?
Like, and now I can totally laugh about it.
And I think that that's the thing too, that I want to just highlight is that I'm going to say that most things, because we can make the decision to keep it this way, but most things are temporary, right? So your financial situation is temporary. You will find new friends. You will find a new identity. You will find a new hope in a new life. And all of this temporary stuff is going to pass if you continue to make the small choices that are consistent with the new version of yourself that you need to be.
Yes. And get the help that you need along the way.
Yeah.
Right. And so sometimes our friends don't know how to support us or family.
Right.
Because they are stuck in it with you. Mm. So they don't know what to say. And we go and lay a lot of weight on them. We don't call them every 5 minutes and get them to agree with our pain. And they don't know how to help you get out of that and say, okay, how are we going to move you forward? Right. Yes. They just got to let you spin.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I never even thought about that, but you're so right. I think that, you know, oftentimes people that care about you the most are going to do what we can to make you feel better. Right. And sometimes it might be the worst thing. Like I might say, oh my goodness, like he was such a jerk. So right. And then, but wait a minute. Like I was married to him for 20 years. So does that make me an idiot? And like all of this, you know what I'm saying? Like you don't even realize that what somebody else is trying to tell you to try to make you feel better all of a sudden can get you hooked down this stupid shame cycle. Right. And so it's really just having the people that are outside of your circle to help you see things in a different way that are going to show up in the objective manner that you need at the time. Right.
You absolutely spot on. Or you can't, they stop answering after a while because they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to say. I've talked to her, you know, for the fifth time today and I'm just going to stop it. So then you feel isolated, right? Yeah. So instead of getting the right people at the right time of your journey,
right,
that can help you again, process and get you moving forward and honor your grief journey, like honor that.
Yes. Yes.
One of the steps I tell women is give yourself a time, schedule it like you would anything else, a time to honor your grief. Mm. So if that means on Tuesdays at 7 p.m., hey, if I need it, I'm going to give myself the half hour, whatever you determine, that I'm going to honor my grief and sadness and disappointment and discouragement and all the things.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to come out and do what I need to do. But at least you know you have the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're honoring it, like you said, I mean, because you're not acknowledging that, or you're acknowledging that it's there. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that sometimes that's what really can hinder our growth is trying to pretend like something's not there and trying to push down our feelings like they don't exist. And then they just get stuck.
Yes.
Right.
And for women, we just keep serving people. We just keep showing up on the committee. We just keep doing the work. We just keep, because we think that's going to make us busy enough to forget. But when you get alone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's when you fall apart.
Have those things. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so going back to, you know, our friends and our family, like I'm going to guess that it was really, really hard when you had to, you know, kind of, like you said, explain like, how are you? Well, this is what's happening. And, or people asking you over and over again. So what advice do you have for people who are newly divorced and they're having to face like, oh my gosh, I do not want to have to say this one more time, or I don't want to have to tell this person, or I don't want to be the subject of anybody's attention. Like that's me. Like, just let me just blend into the wall. Like I don't exist. Right. And all of a sudden it's like, woot, 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 here she is, you know,
it's
uncomfortable. Yeah. It's uncomfortable if you don't like attention. And so what kind of advice do you have for somebody who's really struggling with navigating that part of this?
Yeah. Very excellent question. So here's my deal. You have to come up with a response. So whatever that is. So for me, I just said, I am no longer with him. I don't know how he's doing, or I don't know where he is. Mm-hmm. And that is it. Mm-hmm. And you have to get to a point with boundaries, right? So that is something else that I teach women, is how to deal with boundaries, because when you don't owe anybody an explanation.
Right.
And I think we have to start explaining all the things. And then guess what? And I'll tell you, it happens. You're spot on with the question around that, because you run into people in the grocery store. They don't know. They're just asking. They haven't seen you. They don't know what happened. But for me, what worked is I came up with a response. That way I didn't have to feel like I needed to say something different, or that I needed to explain it, or that. And so that was my response. And then however they responded, I said, you know what? It's none of my business. Because some people would cry, or some people be like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys are. And I just would be like, okay, well, nice seeing you. And so you don't now take on their stuff, and you now you feel like you got to start explaining, and right. you know, oh well, right. wait a minute, you know, no, because it's just opening up your womb again,
right?
Just so be prepared, have a response, whatever that is, and then say it and let it be.
And yeah, just honor that you don't have to explain everything to everybody, and you don't owe anybody anything. Like, you're responsible to people, not for them.
That's it.
Right.
And not to mention, if this is not somebody you don't even really know, you don't even talk to them.
Right.
You don't owe them anything.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So what other advice do you have for people who are struggling with, like, the loneliness? Like, all of a sudden I have to meet new people. I have to, you know, reintroduce myself into social circles. And that's really overwhelming. I'm an introvert. So I'm like the girl who's like going to call up my friend and be like, okay, so I'm going to meet you, right? Like, you're still going, right? Like, okay, I'm going to meet you at 6:57 in the parking lot. Just, you know, call me when you're there, and then we'll walk it together. Like, that's me. Okay. So like, okay. So if I had to start all over, like, it's like, oh, so what kind of advice do you have for people who are really struggling with that?
Yes. Yeah. And the whole loneliness piece, that's a whole nother bucket that you can deal with. But I think that it really comes to really figuring out what is it that you need to give yourself. I encourage women that this time is time for you to pay attention to you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so when you start doing that, I often give the analogy, because I'm a registered nurse for 30 years. And so I see things through that lens of healthcare and nursing.
Yeah.
And so when I talk about the recovery room, when you have a surgery, right, the bone is broke, they determine they need to do surgery. And you go to the operating room, you have your surgery. When you come into the recovery room, there's nobody in the recovery room. It's you and the nurse that's taking care of you.
Yep.
There's no extra explanation. There's not a lot of noise. There's no distractions. There's no family. There's no visitors. It's just you and the nurse who's taking care of you so that you can recover. So in this whole loneliness piece, it is now time. And this is why you need someone to help you see that this is time now for you to start discovering what it is you enjoy about your company.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because otherwise you're going to run right back into a new, possibly unhealthy relationship, when you have to get comfortable with yourself and knowing who you are and what you love, and probably doing the little scary things, like maybe even going out for dinner by yourself, or, you know, right?
You're saying it. It was those things. And as you do it, you build the muscle. So I can remember the first time that I went to dinner with my, and I was in a movie, and I said, you know what, I'm doing it. And you know what, I did it uncomfortable. Yeah. It was not comfortable, but I was, remember we talked about doing whatever is necessary to move yourself forward. Yeah. So I can remember thinking, oh my God, there's going to be like a divorce sign, divorce, divorce. Don't you see her? Look at her. She's coming to the movie. Watch her. She's getting popcorn. Right? But this is the tricks our mind plays.
I know. It's totally irrational, but we totally do it. I know 100%.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm getting popcorn. Yes, I'm going to sit in this movie. Yes, I am with myself, not by myself. Mm. I am with me.
Yes.
And so I went to dinner. I went to the movie. And by the time I got home, I was so empowered.
Yeah.
And what I learned is that, man, I'm good company. Being with me is good. I didn't have to worry about asking anybody what movie they wanted to see or what time they wanted to go. I had... So you start to discover your new freedoms.
Yes, yes, yes. So what are some of those freedoms? Because I do think that there's a lot of beauty in recognizing that. And I see some of my friends who are newly married, but later in life, and they are strong women because they've been by themselves for a long time, and it's the transition. But it's like being by yourself does. It gives you this empowerment of knowing that you can take care of yourself and that you enjoy your own company and you can do things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so some of the things that I love to travel. And I said, oh my gosh, like I don't necessarily have any. And I like to go to like foreign places. So I didn't have any friends who would do that. So you know what I did? I got on Facebook and I looked up travel groups, and I found a travel group. And guess what? I booked a trip to Dubai.
That's amazing. Next time we'll go together. I'm inviting myself, just so you know.
So that's the new, I didn't have to worry about asking anybody gonna go? Worried about whether somebody's finances were gonna come into play to have a husband to worry about? You know, the trip was planned from the beginning to the end. I went on a trip with women I didn't know. Then stepping out that, so each time you do something, you're building that muscle.
Yes, yes. And you're proving to yourself what you're capable of. And I think that's the thing that I think oftentimes we try to trick ourselves into thinking that we have to be from point A to point B, like right away. And we have to be a superstar. And if we're not, then we're a big failure. And that's not it. We take one tiny step in the right direction every single day.
Do one thing at a time. And whatever that may be, it might be going to, you know, sipping and paint, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But this is also why you've got to start discovering what it is you enjoy doing.
Right.
Because once you discover that, then let's put a plan in place for you to go and do that thing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. I love talking to you so much. That's why I just, you know, volunteered to travel across the world with you, by the way.
Let's go.
Right. I mean, hey, we're both nurses. Like, we both like to travel. Anyway, I'm just playing with you. But whatever. So here's the deal, though. I would love for you to share any other thing that we haven't had a chance to talk about around this space, because I want to give you the platform, sister, to be able to inspire hope and practical solutions to people who really need to hear what you have to say right now. So what haven't we had a chance to discuss?
Thank you so much. Not taking up too much time. What I want to say to women, especially, you know, that are in this stuck place, is that you have the courage and you have what it takes to get where you need, wherever it is your heart desires, you have what it takes to get there. And I often want women to know that you are seen and you are heard, and your pain is for a purpose. That's the other thing. You don't go through what you have gone through for nothing.
Right.
And so at some point, as you come to the other side, heal, transform, you'll be able to, like I can now, look back at some stories and just chuckle, have a good old laugh. But while you're in the smoke screen, don't give up on you. I promise you it gets better. Yeah. And I promise you, you will live again. You will hope again. You will laugh again. You will love again, if that's so what you choose to do. You can go back to school again and you will breathe again, because divorce can often have you feel like you're white knuckling and just holding on, but you will. And there are those of us who can show you that you will.
Absolutely. And you know, God tells us that we'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but he never tells us that we're going to stay there.
Yes.
Right? Yes, we're going to walk through it. And so just allow somebody like this beautiful, beautiful soul here to walk alongside of you on that journey, and just allowing yourself to be surrounded by people who understand your pain, who understand why you're feeling stuck, how you're feeling stuck, and can help you get unstuck. So I just absolutely adore you so much. I think that it's so much fun to chat with you, Felicia, and I'm so glad that you're here. So you guys, if you haven't already, make sure that you hit subscribe, make sure that you write a review, let Felicia know all of the ways that she helped you today to get unstuck. And I always love seeing when you guys take screenshots of these episodes and share them in your stories and tag us, because it's so much fun to see who's listening, and then we can share you out on our network too. It's one of my favorite things. And one of the things that I always do before I wrap up an episode is I ask the guests to think of a question that they would like the audience to think about that's going to help move them from where they are to where they want to be. So what would you ask our audience to think of?
That's good. That's very good. I think the question that I would ask the audience to think about is, where do you see, or where would you like to see yourself in a year from now?
Oh, yes. And I'm going to piggyback off of that and say, what is the next right step to get you there?
That's
if you can't figure it out, you need to get a hold of this lady right here. I love it. Okay. And before we go, I just have to ask you about this new book that you have coming out, sister. Like, tell us all the details.
Absolutely. Listen, my book that I wrote, and this is why I say you don't go through things for nothing. My book that I wrote is called You Can Again, Picking Up the Shattered Pieces After Divorce. And so if you are wondering if there's life after divorce, this is the book for you. I share my own riveting testimony. And then I walk through women through the practical tools to, again, heal and recover from a divorce to know that I remarried.
Oh, look at you. So you can't have another healthy relationship because of everything that you learned.
Absolutely. So my book is there to service you. And in the back of the book, you will see a QR code if you want to set up a coaching session with me as well. And my website is www.iamfeliciaroberts.com. You can go and check me out there and see all the things that I'm up to.
I love it so much. Oh my goodness. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Love it. Thank you so much for popping in. You guys, thank you for listening. I am always so honored that you spend the time with me and the guests that we have on here, the Unstuck Podcast. And we so look forward to seeing you next week. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Unstuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.